Glad you're here on this Sunday morning. Acts chapter 4 is where we'll be again as we keep trucking through the book of Acts. The first persecution of the church. And if you got your devices, your phone, or what have you, we'll read. What are you doing on the front row, brother? Well, I sure appreciate that. Here comes some more. Come right on down on the front. You're good back there? Okay. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to share with you. You can follow or what have you, and then we'll have pieces of it on the screen. This is Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They were greatly disturbed. Isn't that a shame? Sounds like today, isn't it? That you can have any kind of idea you want and get on TV and talk about it. You can be in our government and have any kind of wild idea you want that doesn't match up with anything in the Word of God and say all you want to. But if you bring up the name of Jesus, something is terribly wrong, people say. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. People are still disturbed. Keep up the good work and proclaim the word. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speak about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. There's the text. Been talking about this little episode here for some time now. And we see the first persecution of the church going on here. We see that Peter and John, they're arrested. They're put in jail overnight. They arrested him. It was too late for a trial, so they kept him overnight. And they were there because of one reason. They were talking about Jesus Christ and his resurrection. They were saying there's one way to be saved, and that's Jesus, through Jesus. There's one that salvation is found in, and that is Jesus Christ and him alone. The evidence was there that they had been with Jesus, and really they couldn't say a whole lot. It was there. It was evident. Now, on the screen, Acts 4:1. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. While they were speaking to the people, while they were teaching, while they were preaching, they came up. Pardon me. They came up to them as they spoke, as they were preaching about Jesus Christ. And here they come. Now, you got to remember the crippled man. You got to remember the words that Peter said. He said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, what? Walk. Okay, what did he do? The crippled man got up, he walked, he ran, he leaped, he went through the temple praising God. So he caused a little bit of a stir. So the authorities come to see what's going on here, what's happening here, and they come to check it out. Well, there's a lot of people came to check it out because they wanted to know what was going on. Here's the temple now. In your mind, it's a massive place. Thousands of people could get in there. And here is this crippled man. They had saw him for year after year begging. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't walk. And now guess what? He's running up and down the aisle, if you will. What if that happened here? That people come to see what happened. That you'd be saying to yourselves, you know, what's going on here? What happened? So it drew a crowd, and Peter started talking about these happenings here. Now, the next slide, they were greatly disturbed. We talked about that a little bit earlier, because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and a number of men grew to about 5,000. They were so disturbed. Well, why are they disturbed that Jesus is being preached, that the resurrection is being preached, that the only way to heaven is through Jesus? Why are they so upset? Because they were afraid. Because they were afraid they would lose the people's affection. Because they might start questioning, the people may start questioning the rulers of the day. And the people in power and in position, if you will. They were afraid they would lose the loyalty of the people. So fear had gripped them. They were afraid that somebody might say, wait a minute, your doctrine's wrong. This Jesus is saying this, and you have said this. They were afraid that they may have to acknowledge, yes, we crucified Jesus, and yes, he's the Son of God. They were afraid of these kind of things, and fear gripped them. And it's kind of like us today. Fear grips people today, and not causing people not to support the kingdom of God. Well, I don't want to be viewed as radical. I don't want to be viewed, pardon me, as this Christian or this fanatic or this whatever. And anymore, if you say the name of Jesus, according to the media, that you're already a fanatic. Well, we don't need to worry about that. We need to preach Jesus. We need to teach Jesus. We need to do like Peter and John and say there's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ the Lord. There's one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ the Lord, and not be fearful to rock the boat, so to speak, or not to do what's right. We ought to be moved to do what's right. Well, I might not be accepted if I do that. So what? I might not be accepted if I really stand for Jesus in elementary school. I might not really be accepted if I talk about Jesus in high school or in college. I might not get as many likes on social media if I start standing for Jesus. People may think I'm weird. People may not like this and like that. I tell you, if your life as a teenager depends today on how many likes you get on Facebook, and your life is so wrapped up in that phone, y'all throw it in the garbage. It don't matter how many likes you get. It don't matter how many people say this or say that. What matters is the Word of the living God. What matters that Jesus says, if you'll follow me, I'm the only way to heaven. If you'll follow me, guess what? I'll take you places that you've never been before. I'll take you places physically and in this world that you cannot attain through social media and all the other stuff we get so caught up in. You need to stick with me, Jesus says. We're afraid we won't have that acceptance as young people and older people. We're afraid that we might not have the position or authority, because if I stand for Jesus too much, people at work will view me as a weirdo. People will view me as not in the same light, or they won't treat me, or I might not get the promotion. Let the promotion go and stand for Jesus. Well, here's Peter and John standing for Jesus. Put them in jail because it's too late for a trial that day. What are we going to do with them? 5,000 men had been saved, not counting women and children. What are we going to do with them? I can just imagine the conversation. What are we going to do with them? 5,000 men have turned to follow this Jesus. What are we going to do? He's really stirring the pot up here. We're going to lose these people. And on and on and on and on it went. 5,000 saved. The Spirit of God was working. And it didn't matter what they said. God was at work. Look at Isaiah with me, 55:11. So is the word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And that's exactly what was going on. God was ready for a harvest here. He saw the cripple. He said, I'm going to touch that cripple, and it's going to cause a stir, and many people will be drawn to me. And that's exactly what happened. Look at verses 5 through 10. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. So was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. And I can just hear the attitude in this scripture almost. By what power or what name did you do this? And then I can just hear Peter. And we can say a lot about Peter. But the next little phrase tells us what was happening with Peter right now. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. And to me, I can just hear him with authority and yet with love, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Rulers and elders of the people, you might hear a little different tone. But if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness, I love how this is worded, to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. And here he goes. He's been trying to tell the folks this ever since he was talking to the cripple. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There again, with authority, but yet with love. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. He's been bringing that up a lot if you've been paying attention. But whom God raised from the dead. He's constantly saying, you crucified him. God raised him from the dead. That this man stands before you today. He was saying, hey, it's all about Jesus here. Jesus is the subject. Jesus is the one. who did this healing. Evidently, Ananias was recognized by the people as the high priest. But really, in Rome's eyes, Caiaphas was the high priest, the best I can tell. And they got to find out, by what power and in what name did you do this? And then Peter goes on and he talks about Jesus. It is Jesus who did this work. So today, if we would stand before the court today, if Jesus chose to heal a cripple today and he ran through here leaping, praising God, and people started questioning us, what in the world happened there at Jones Chapel? Then we must be careful. And we must be careful and know that, yes, we have flesh and we're human. And we would have to be careful to say, you know, that preacher didn't do it and the teacher didn't do it or the board didn't do it or anything that would show recognition to us or power or position and that kind of thing that the world is so full of today and the flesh and the human nature tries to take over. We would have to guard that. And we would have to say it was Jesus of Nazareth who did this work. It was through him who did this work. And Peter and John here, filled with the Holy Spirit, gives that reason here. And I just love the way that's worded, and I like to read it. Maybe you do too. The theme, the name, the reason, I'm telling you, it's Jesus. It's Jesus of Nazareth who made this man whole in body and spirit. Jesus Christ did the work. And guess what? You crucified him. You ignored him. You called for a murderer to be released. You crucified him. But don't worry. God raised him from the dead. And he tells that story every chance he gets here. Now, verses 11 and 12, he's the stone you builders rejected, which became the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. No other way. It's Jesus. He's proclaiming. Jesus is the head. He's the head of the church. Jesus Christ alone saves. There's no other exalted Lord. There's no other one higher. There's no other one that can get the job done but Jesus. No teacher's good enough. No prophet, no preacher can do the saving. It is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And he emphasizes it over and over and over. Not mankind, only one man, and that's the Son of God. That Jesus, he can get the job done. Verses 13 and 14. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus, but since they could not see the man, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. What are you going to say? The miracle's been performed. Jesus has done that. Here stands the man. Here's the evidence. It's right here before you. And Jesus did that. One, because of my education. One, because of my learning. But we have been with Jesus. But we have been with Jesus. So what do we take out of that? I need to be with Jesus. I need to spend time with Jesus. Well, why don't we see the miracles we used to see? Why don't we see the miracles we read about in this book? Why do we not see them? It could be because we're not spending time with Jesus. It could be because we're spending time with everything else under the sun and we're not spending enough time with Jesus that He's working through us and the Holy Spirit's working through us. It was evident here. They realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they took note. They noticed they had been with Jesus. It was evident. It was there. They had been with Jesus. Matthew 18 on the screen says, "Where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." We come together to pray. We come together tonight to pray for VBS. We come together. The next slide is Luke 1:37, "For nothing is impossible with God." And if we believe what we preach, if we believe this scripture, then when we come together and pray, nothing's impossible with God. We need to spend some time with Jesus and let Him do His work. 15 through 18. "So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and excuse me, then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? What in the world are we going to do with this bunch? Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. What are we going to do with them? We see it, they see it, we cannot deny it." They couldn't deny the power of God, the miracle. "But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. You can't be talking about Jesus. Does that sound familiar? You can't be talking about Jesus over here at this function or this function or this function. And certainly we want to keep you corralled in here in Jones Chapel in these walls. And for now, in our own country, you can talk about Jesus in here all you want to. That's right now in our own country. But now don't you come out here. Don't go beyond the walls. Don't you speak it out there. Because somebody's going to get in trouble if you do. We might be greatly displeased. So what? Peter and John says here, listen, the miracle's been done. You can't deny it. We can't deny it. So what do we need to do? We need some lame men. We need some crippled men to be healed. We need to go beyond the walls and we need to find the lame men, the crippled men in spirit and in body. We need to spend some time with Jesus. We need to be in prayer and asking for the miraculous to happen and for the anointing of God to fall upon the teachers and the preachers and the congregation and in Clarkdale in the community. And we need a lame man to be healed. We need souls to be saved. They couldn't deny it. Just simply couldn't deny it. Now look at 19 and 20. "But Peter and John replied, 'Judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard.'" We can't stop it. We can't help ourselves. We got to speak about Jesus. Now does that fit me? Does that fit you? Does that fit us that we just can't help but talk about Jesus? That Jesus has done so much for us and He saved us. The greatest gift we'll ever have is salvation. And there's no way to have it other than Him, the Scriptures told us this morning. And we can't help ourselves. Peter and John says we just can't help ourselves. We've got to speak the name of Jesus. Well, how about us? Are we speaking the name of Jesus in our circles of influence and the places we go? I pray we are. We can't help. We just can't help ourselves. If I'm supposed to obey God rather than you here, Mr. Ruler, what's right to God? Well, God said, told them time and time again, preach the gospel. They knew what God had said. They were commissioned to do it, and they did it. 21 and 22. After further threats, they let him go. Don't you be preaching this Jesus, and other threats. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. Well, how are we going to punish these guys? What are we going to do? Hey, here's all the people praising God. They saw this in the temple. Here come the crippled man praising God, running, leaping, praising God. Guess what? I've been healed. I can walk. Everybody see, what are we going to do with them? How are we going to punish them? What can we do with them? For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. That answers a question I had a couple weeks ago. I hadn't picked up on that. I did this time. He's over 40 years old. Power of Christ was there. They could not deny it. So we know he was over 40 years old now. And they had saw him and saw him and saw him. But they also saw the freedom. They saw the power of God. They saw what Jesus had done through Peter and John. And Peter kept saying, listen, listen, listen. It is because of Jesus of Nazareth that this has happened. You crucified him. God raised him from the dead. You ignored him. You turned him away. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the one who did this. Brings it back to them time and time again. The next slide. They proclaim salvation in Christ alone. That's the only thing we've got to stand on. They, Peter and John, was proclaiming salvation in Christ alone. No other name, not Peter, not John, not a preacher, not a person here. It is in Christ alone. We need to do the same thing. The next slide. They gave evidence that they had been with Jesus. They gave evidence they had been with Jesus. We need to give evidence that we have been with Jesus. So we got to be with Jesus. We've got to let the evidence show through how we live and how we love and how we talk and how we go through life and what's really important to us that people can know we've been with Jesus. And then the last slide, they refused to compromise their message. People of great power, people of position and authority were saying, you know, you don't need to talk about this Jesus. What if it gets that way here? What if it gets that way that the rulers of our land says, you can't be talking about this Jesus now? Will we be like Peter and John, or what will we do? Well, today, they couldn't deny it. They couldn't deny the power of Almighty God. So as we get ready to leave here in a few moments, we're going to go out of this place. I ask myself and I ask all of us here today, will we go out proclaiming salvation in Christ alone? Will we do it? We can't help but speak because what Christ has done, because what he's done in my own life. We can't help but say it is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the one who said, I don't have any silver or gold, Peter said, but what I have, I'm going to give it to you. Guess what? In the name of Jesus, walk. And he did. And the evidence was there. He ran through the temple. Jesus, Christ alone. Evidence that we've been with Jesus. And do not compromise the message. Well, let's stand to our feet this morning. Have a prayer. And where do you find yourself today? Do you need a miracle? You might say, well, I kind of feel like I'm the cripple guy today for some reason. I just feel like I need a fresh touch from God. I need this Jesus of Nazareth to touch me. To touch me in my mind. My thought process. To touch me in my body. To touch me in my soul. This whole thing we're talking about, the power of God, it's either real or it's all a lie. Which is it? It is real. And I submit that to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because without His touch, where would you be today? Without Jesus' touch, where would we all be today? It is in the name of Jesus that the miraculous still happens. It's in the name of Jesus that healing is taking place today. It is in the name of Jesus that souls are being saved today. It is in the name of Jesus that depression has to leave. In the name of Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus that is healing mankind from a nation to a world to a state to a community to the local family and the local church. It is in the name of Jesus Christ. Still the answer. And God help us for trying everything else. God help us from getting our attention on everything else but Jesus. So I tell you today, the answer is Jesus. For you and for me. You need to be saved today? Not really saved, you know it. And you might come to church because you're forced by your parents or you, whoever. But you know when it gets right down to it, if you stood before the Lord today, you're not right with Him. Today's a good day to say, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, here I am. And all I can say is, Lord, save me. I need You. And just as sure as I stand on my two feet, just as sure as the Word of God says that it is only in the name of Jesus that we can call on to be saved, He'll save you. Whatever emotional state, whatever we're doing today, the answer is in Jesus. Our Father in heaven, how blessed we are to have the Word of God. How blessed we are to know in our own lives, Lord, we're similar to this cripple. Oh, we've been walking, but Lord, in our hearts and our sin and Lord, life, we've got issues. And the only one that I know that can handle them all is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So God, today may people have a tremendous freedom and a tremendous desire to walk to this altar and pray for themselves. Pray for a family member. Pray that we ourselves will be with Jesus and it'll be evident in our lives. So God, You're here to meet needs today. We've got to have the strength and courage to ask You. And we're going to do that right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.